coming to you from the Radio for One studios in Franklin, Michigan. Welcome to the Detroit Cast.
Big fan.
Big fan.
A show not just free of charge, but free of FCC regulation.
Thank you for your support of the Detroit Cast.
Oh, there it is.
And without further delay, it's showtime. Please welcome the Detroit Cast. Here are your hosts, Mike and Jay.
Hello, hello. Welcome to the Detroit Cast, Mike and Jay. Shalom, Big E. Jay, how are you? Happy Father's Day, my friend.
Thank you, sir. Happy to be here.
Yeah?
A bright, beautiful Father's Day.
Surprised you were here, not out celebrating your day.
No,
I mean, this is your day.
Did a little bit of that. Did you get out and see your dad?
I did.
Okay.
I did. I saw him yesterday.
Very good.
Yeah. Made him cook. Fired up the barbecue. It was a lot of fun.
That's what dads like to do.
Yeah, yeah, and he did. Did you win any awards this year? Or
I'm drinking out of a one in a million dad mug.
Oh, okay.
But this is from past years. I didn't receive any. I did have a bag that was written "World's Greatest Dad." I don't know if that's official enough.
Well,
but
who wrote? Was it officially stamped on the bag?
No, little Sweet Pie drew it on there. So maybe it's still up in the air.
Whether did you not defend this year then or
wow. I mean, thought you've been, if I'm not mistaken, you've been a world's greatest, a best.
A one in a million.
And a number one. I think you've been a number one dad, a world's best dad, and a world's greatest dad.
I might have lost it this year.
Wow.
Because it was
clearly
handwritten. So I don't.
Wow.
Who overtook you?
I don't know.
Oh, wow. That is a consolation prize if I've ever seen one.
I did get a big vat of King's peanut butter, though. So
oh, excellent.
That's good. You know you're getting old when you start getting food for gifts.
Yeah.
It's really.
Well, my dad got food for gifts, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. He got a cake made by his son.
His
favorite cake.
What was it? The devil's food or whatever?
Angel's food.
Or angel's
food.
Yeah. Sorry, not devil's. Angels.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of Satan, dude. We're not Satanists. I'm not going to have a devil's food cake. Yeah, angel's food. It's his favorite, and I made a beautiful cake, if I do say so myself. It was.
Poured some strawberries over it?
No, I didn't do any of that, but but when it came out and it was presented on a plate, it was like, wow.
What was it? You stir it and put it in a microwave or something?
No, you stir it and you put it in an oven. And then it dings at a certain point. At that point, you take it out of the oven, and then basically you're
done. Put it on a plate.
Yeah, that's it.
Paper plate. That's good.
There's rumor that I got I've got a Father's Day card waiting for me, from the babies, from the Paroops, and I've gotten those before. I asked Beth. I was like, look, you know, not that it matters, but. Did the kids come to you in any way and ask for help picking out a card or anything? And if so, do you know if there was anything in any way stating like world's greatest or best or number one? And then I was, you know, like, not that it matters, not that I give a shit. I don't care. It's a worthless trophy basically, but do you know if it was written on the card at all? And she hasn't told me, so I don't know.
So it could be you. We don't know.
We don't know. It's exciting, though.
Waiting
with
bated breath.
Yeah, I certainly am. How else was the weekend?
It was good. It was tryout weekend for soccer. So, it sort of dominated my life for the last week, 10 days, 14 days, if we're honest.
Yeah.
But
what does that mean? What do you get, like a couple hundred kids out and like try them out or something?
Yeah,
for different teams?
So the state, the association that runs youth soccer in the state says this weekend is the first weekend that you can sign kids for the 2017-18 year.
Oh.
And so everybody, it's a mad dash to sign kids to your teams. You know? So all the clubs from all over the state are having tryouts at the same time. And you're trying to, you know, form teams. So.
But if you get a kid to your tryout, then wouldn't that mean he's basically on your team? Like, why would he try out with your group and then go to another?
Some people don't go. Some people go to one tryout. Some people shop around. It's all, it's really quite frustrating.
Is there any kind of shenanigans or tomfoolery? Is any wool being pulled?
Wool gets
this?
Pulled from time to time.
It would, and I don't know. I haven't talked to you about this, but it seems that when you have like everybody in a mad dash on a certain weekend,
looking out for their own interests.
Yes.
Hundreds of people looking out for their own interests.
Knowing what we know about human behavior,
it's
selfishness and the liars that we are. It's
pretty amazing, actually. You'll talk to people on your teams already. Everything good? Yeah, everything's good. No problems. No, going to be coming back. Absolutely. You know, looking you in the eye. Yeah, absolutely. For sure. We'll see you then. And where's...
You got cushed?
Where's... Yeah.
Did you get cushed?
Cushed.
My handshake is
strong as oak.
My word is my bond. I don't believe in contracts.
Yeah.
Is it possible to get cushed at that age?
Oh, people get cushed all the time. It's a mess. It's really, really frustrating.
Yeah.
I don't really want to talk about it. No, I mean, we did well. Our club did really well, and we're happy with it. But it's a tiring process. And
yeah.
A lot of time on my feet talking with people all weekend.
Oh, I know how much you love talking.
You're the politician?
Too. Yeah, you sort of have to politic a little bit.
I'm going to take care of your boy. I'm going to look after him. He's in good hands with us over here.
Yeah,
that's fun. I had an exciting weekend. I went deaf at one point.
What happened, Mike?
I went deaf. I did.
What? What?
Dude, I had vertigo going at one point.
You were a mess last week. What is going on?
I think it's all the congestion and the meds to get everything through. But Beth and I were driving over to my parents yesterday to do, as I was saying, the Father's Day barbecue and present him with his cake and whatnot. And
did you get him anything else or just the cake?
Some cookies. His favorite cookies, though. And then Beth got a card. But I'm right before I left, all of a sudden, you ever had that where one ear gets plugged or something? It's like on a plane and you got to clear it.
Yes.
We're all familiar with that, but it was like worse than I've ever had. And I don't know if it's just everything clearing, like getting over that whatever cold I had or whatever. And it hit both ears and I'm driving with Beth and I'm like, I can't hear anything. I'm literally deaf right now. And so the whole time I'm doing this with my nose. We're like, and it's popping, and all of a sudden, my right ear releases, which is the greatest feeling in the world if you're going through that. And I just instantly went, whoa.
No way.
And I grab her she's like, pull over. I'm like, I'm all right. And I held it together, and then we got to my parents' house, and she Beth had me lay down on my side and poured what is that, peroxide in my ear. God.
Did you have a bunch of wax in there that bubbled up?
Dude.
Oh, you're one of these guys.
Unbelievable.
You're one of these guys.
What do you mean, one of these guys?
Yeah, my dad's one of these guys, too.
What?
Major wax ear guy. He loses hearing.
Yeah, I've never had that happen before. And I'm meticulous with cleaning my ears. So,
enormous chunks came out?
No, not enormous chunks, but it was it's foamy. It's the weirdest feeling because it's, you know, peroxide. Sure. You put it on something, on a knee wound, and it bubbles like crazy. Well, you put it in your ear, and you can hear it just bubbling like crazy.
Doing its thing.
Yeah, and after a couple minutes, it was poured out, and then you take a Q-tip to your ear, and it's fucking gross.
Yeah.
What comes out, it's just
What would you have done? I mean, and I can't say this. I could say the same for myself, but what would you have done if you didn't have Beth? If you were at home.
Oh, this would have been a problem. This would have been a problem because I'd have been deaf.
Did she take the mini turkey baster thing?
Yes.
And squirt this stuff in.
She squirted it in there.
Kind of force it.
Yeah, and it's the weirdest feeling because it just fills up. And
I've never done it. But
oh, it's kind of kick-ass though because, dude, she did it and then immediately I felt better and I could hear better. And then as the night progressed, it just got way better and then I was just fine. My hearing was back. And so
it's not above and beyond what it was last week. It's just back to what it was.
Yeah, I don't normal. I don't have spidey hearing.
You didn't have to turn your headphones down.
No. I wish. That'd be awesome. I don't have better hearing than I did before.
Spidey and possible spider bites. I got something going on, dude. What do you think that is?
About nine. Oh, that. Ooh.
I thought it was just a weird zit on my leg.
Yeah.
But I popped it and it hurt and it's kind of grown back. Gab thinks it might be a tick bite.
A tick? Do you have a tick bite? You have Lyme disease?
Don't they bore in there if it's a tick?
Ah, they can, yeah.
We might have to go in.
Oh, no.
On the break, we're going in.
Wow. We are? We're going to surgically go in there? See what it is? Because if we find
a safety pin?
Yeah. I have a razor blade, safety pin, whatever you need. Tweezers?
We're going in, Jesus.
No.
Yeah. We are totally going in.
You guys are.
That's funny you say that about the spiders. Spiders freak me out. And Beth over the weekend calls me or sends me a picture of this spider and she's like, oh my God, come over here and kill this thing. And I'm like, ugh. And spiders freak me out. And I can't tell in the picture. It's just like a close up of the spider.
She needed a dime next to it or a battery.
Totally.
AA battery or a dime.
I'm like, yeah, if she would have just held a dime sizer nipple up to it, I would have been like, okay, now I get it. Yeah. I know what we're dealing with. So I don't know if this thing is a quarter of an inch or as big as your head.
Right.
I just don't know. And it's in her door frame, going into the backyard, on the glass. And so,
so it's not a quick swipe and squeeze. I mean, you got to like knock this thing out and do battle, essentially. Yeah.
And so I'm at home and I go over there at like 1 a.m. And she's already
went over there at 1 a.m. to kill a spider.
Yeah. Well, I was planning on going over there anyways. I was just like, I'll just sleep there, whatever. And so I go over there and the dogs go ape shit, wake her up. She's already asleep. And so she's like, all right, let's go downstairs. And so we go downstairs and the spider's gone. He's not there. I'm like, oh, for crying out loud. Now he's coming to murder us. And so I end up like the next day, I'm not there now. And she's like, oh my God, it's back. It's on the other door. And she's worried it's going to be in the house, kill the dogs or whatever. Dude, she's looking up what it is. It's a wolf spider.
Oh,
it's
those poisonous, are, yeah, those are creepy.
And it's fucking huge. Dude, like that.
Come on, man.
She said it was furry, gross.
Show me the size again. I want you to be on record.
I'll show you a picture of it.
I don't believe it, man.
I don't know if she'll send
it. I don't believe anything in Michigan has that diameter. Oh, I just don't.
Oh, it does.
Does she have a dime next to this picture or a nipple?
Nah.
Okay, then I don't believe it, dude.
Yeah. Well,
while you're doing that, hey, our friends at Zodford and Holly want to celebrate summer with some sick deals nearly as ripe as Biggie's wretched stink ass. For example, lease a new 17 Ford Fusion SE for just $118 a month, or lease a new 17 Ford Escape SE at $129 a month. Both are just 24-month leases. Much like Mike's groceries in his fridge, these deals won't last long. Surf their superb deals and massive inventory at dealsinthed.com.
Oh, I can't even look at it.
That's a big fucking spider, it appears. But again, we have... Are we zoomed in? Where's the context? I know. No idea, man. I mean,
look at that, E.
Holy. Yeah.
Yeah, right? Huh?
That is big.
And I'm like, don't even send me that. Dude, I don't.
There's only one poisonous spider in Michigan. It's the Black Widow. So I don't believe. Well, I don't believe the whole story.
She was showing me the stats.
You lost credibility. And a bite. You told me a lie a moment ago.
A bite would be. She sent me the stats on it.
Said it was poisonous.
And they claim it is.
They do, huh?
Yes. She looked it up. Venom. Toxicity. The bite of the wolf spider is poisonous.
To what?
But not lethal.
Well, there you go.
Although non-aggressive, they bite freely if provoked and should be considered dangerous to humans. The bite may be very painful. First aid and medical attention should be sought as soon as possible, particularly as to children or the elderly.
Okay. I'm going to guess this is a tick and not a wolf bite.
Yeah. But we'll
investigate.
She's like, I'm gonna murder this thing. And so she took it upon herself. She's like,
shoo? Did she shoo it?
Well, she opened the door. So now the thing is technically like the door swings open into the kitchen. Mess.
Well, and that's where the son of a bitch lives too. So he's like all hunkered back, right? He can hunker back. He knows
what he's defensive. Doing. And I believe you have like one good shot when you've got something like that. Dude. You miss and they scurry and it's like, oh, now it's on for real.
And he's going to be mad.
And he's pissed. And so she's like, oh,
it's sort of like the monkey on the motorbike, you know? You better knock that son of a bitch out with that shoe or he's coming at you.
Yeah, and then you're going to have to dirt face him and go to blows. So she's like, oh, man, I'm sorry, friend, but I'm going to give you one chance. She got like a spatula and she's like, I'm going to give you one chance to get the hell out of here and go about your day.
He didn't take it, did he? Cocky son of a bitch.
Son of a bitch didn't. And so she's
stared
like,
at her with his eight eyes.
So she like flicks him and he's like, you kind of rears up and he's all furry. Like, let's go. It's go time. You going to dirt face me? And so she's like, you got, you know, one chance to like jump out and beat it onto the lawn. And she hits him and he decided he was going to take his chances in the house, lands on the floor and starts going. And she's like, ah, shoo.
Hell yes.
And then shoo.
Oh.
And she said, just things are popping out of him. She's like, it was so fucking gross. And she's like apologizing to him. You were going after my babies. I'm sorry. Took him down. And then she sent me a picture of this thing squashed on the floor.
Ah.
Oh, freaked me out, dude.
Glad to hear you didn't have to handle it anymore, Mike.
I was not looking forward to that. I would have, though. I think I would have handled my
business. Sounds like you would have. You went over there at 1 a.m. to handle it.
When was the first
Of course, it was a booty call. Let's be honest.
When was the first text?
Use a blowjob.
Oh, yeah. When was the first text when you say you came over at 1 a.m?
All right. Full disclosure.
I mean, sure was it could one use a blowjob. Yeah. Sure could use a dead spider. Come on over.
Yeah. I know. There may have been some trade talks.
Quid pro quo.
Yeah. This is we're in negotiations now about what's going to go down with this spider. No. In
for the record, I'd kill any spider on earth for a blowjob.
Oh, me too. Yeah. Absolutely. Agreed. No, it was not that kind of negotiation. But my problem was because she had started texting me at like, I don't know, 11 or 11:30. And I'm like, yeah, give me a little bit. I'll stop by. But I was sitting down having a cocktail at the time, and I was like, man, I don't want to drive. I know it's only a couple blocks away.
Get a couple drinks and oh, sure could use a blowjob.
Yeah, I really could use that blowjob. I wonder if that spider's still around. And so finally I felt comfortable hopping in the car about one. And then I was like, I went over there. She's like, what are you doing? I was like, well, I didn't want to drink and drive. I had a couple cocktails, and so I just decided that I'd sober up a little bit and come over now.
How responsible!
And I'm unzipping my pants at the time. Yeah. She's like, I don't even know where the spider is anymore, and so that's what led to that. But it ended with me not getting a BJ or killing a spider, so it was a very, very unsuccessful night in the end. Not happy about it.
Hey, got to tell you about the Hamlin Pub. They have 5 locations: Clarkston, Chesterfield, Rochester, and 2 in Shelby Township. Hamlin Pubs offer a wide selection of craft beers, most of which are brewed right here in Michigan. They have great happy hour specials Monday through Friday, 2 to 6 p.m., and half-off appetizers on Monday. Check out all their specials at all 5 locations at hamlinpubs.com.
E, how was your weekend? Anything exciting?
That was all right. I ended up heading up to MIS for a day on
Hell
Friday.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah.
It was fun. Not as fun as it used to be, but fun nonetheless. I went with a friend, and I will say,
Proudly display your number 9?
No.
Or your Confederate flag? One of your many Confederate flags?
No, I did not have many, and I do not wave them anymore.
Well, you had an assortment at one time.
I don't even know that I have my flag anymore.
Yeah, I got you one right over here. You brought it in, I remember.
I'm not saying I don't. I'm not saying I do. I just don't know that I do or don't anymore.
Well, you could take your Confederate flag bed sheets and just drape one of those over the car to go up. You know what I mean? Like, you don't need, it doesn't necessarily have to be a flag, technically.
True, I suppose. Yeah. I do not fly it anymore, and you know that, you son of a bitch.
Well,
it's been
whatever.
years. That was a youth thing. So I don't know. What is what it is.
Well, you know, I'm proud to say that, you know, at no point was I flying a Confederate flag or displaying a Grand Wizard outfit where it's like, nah, I don't do that anymore. I don't, you know, I don't fly my Grand Wizard outfit anymore. It's like, at no time did I.
I understand.
You know, so you have that in your past. It's something for you to deal with.
I understand. Ahead. I'm not worried about it. I'm not a racist. It just was a thing I did for a few years.
Do you have black frenzy?
You want a cookie?
Sure, I guess. I don't know. I don't know. Not many, I guess. I had a few when I was working at Zot. And
it's kind of rhetorical.
We just don't really talk to I know, yeah. Really
talk he's to literally going to list black people he's met over the years. Well, there was Anthony, and that guy was pretty cool. Right. And black.
Right, I don't know. Whatever, it is fun. I will say, like, I...
So how were your fellow Americans?
They were doing all right. Yeah. Not as many as there used to be, as I've stated over the years that the attendance has gone down.
It's a damn point system,
and
right?
Also, I will... Maybe, of course who knows is. What the reason exactly is, but I will say... Also, that it's like, it takes me longer to recover, for sure, more and more on stuff like this than it used to be. Like, I used to go Friday morning and, like, get there at, like, 7, you know, and leave Sunday, sometimes even Monday. Now I just got there at, like, 1 on Friday, left as soon as we woke up Saturday, and I was pretty much worthless on Saturday.
Oh, your youth is behind you, sir.
Dude, that's the difference between a 38-year-old man and a 28-year-old man.
I know. It's crazy.
Turned the corner.
Mm-hmm. I know. It was still fun, though. I will say, you know, for Father's Day, by the way, Mike, we had a dinner right over here, right over in your pizza place.
My pizza place?
You're the pizza place right down the road here.
There's a pizza
place? Wood oven. Where you, like, if you get it to go, they make you still have to, like, cook it in the oven or something. What is it? Boca or...
Oh, yeah, Buka,
like Franklin and Northwestern.
Yeah.
That place is good, man. I like that place.
Dude, we went somewhere else, and there was a situation at the restaurant where it was going to take forever.
What did you do, you son of a bitch?
Nothing. We didn't know where to go. I don't know. We it was last minute. We didn't call ahead enough places.
Who is we?
The family, my mom setting up the thing, I guess.
Why would your mom want to do dinner all the
way
over here?
It's you, your mom, and dad?
Well, no, like my sister and... live over in
Mongoloid Aaron Rodgers.
Live over in Shelby. So you're trying to find a place that's like good for them, and I'm going here. Mm-hmm. Like if we didn't do this at night, then I would, you know, I could go wherever, and then we would just, but we do this. So we ended up over in Southfield, and we were at the TGI Fridays, to be honest with you, over at Southfield and Evergreen, and it was not a good situation. They're like either didn't have any servers or they had very few. There was like half the restaurant was shut down just due to the fact that they didn't have enough people to serve and stuff. And I was like, made an executive decision. I said, we need to get out of here. This is not going to be a good situation.
Yeah.
Food-wise.
He's like, I know shit service when I see it.
Oh, yeah.
I've provided it.
What was
many
the clientele?
Times.
What were the servers like? I mean, what was it?
I mean, as far as the servers, I didn't even see any. It's actually, I don't know that there were any necessarily. The host, I got there. We all drove separate, so I got there late. And my dad just said that the host said that there was they were down quite a bit of people. So I don't
why
know
don't you jump in and pick up a shift or something? You've done this a million times. Could have helped out the crew. You're not banned at TGI Fridays, are you?
No, that's I am just, not banned at TGI
just Red Fridays. Robin, right? That's right. The only place he's banned for life.
As far as I know.
Yeah.
Yes, you're correct.
So Mike had a good Father's Day. You were appropriate.
I will say the kids chipped in, and we got them tickets to Paul McCartney.
All right.
Caesar's Arena.
Cool.
Dude, October. That's pretty badass, actually. One ticket to go by himself?
No, two. I don't know who he's going to go with. I let that up to the situation right now. It wasn't the normal situation.
He knows he's in good running. His brother's not in state.
I'm sure that I'll get to go. But yeah,
are you lobbying? Have you started your lobby?
I'm sure that I'll... But it's technically not my ticket. He can go with my mom if he wants.
Oh, please take like a random neighbor. Please. Have you ever seen McCartney?
I want to go, though. I will say
Have you ever seen him?
No.
It's the greatest live show you'll ever see. He's that.
Actually,
his band
honestly,
is so good, and he is so good. I think it was his birthday yesterday. I think he turned 75.
It was on your recommendation, to be honest with you. I was looking at things to get my dad, and I know October is a ways away from Father's Day, obviously, but it's in the new arena. I'd been hearing the commercials saying that those tickets were on sale, and my dad is definitely a person who, like, he will not spend the money. He would never, ever pay money to go see Paul McCartney.
How much were they?
I got them on StubHub, and they ended up being, it was $250 for two.
Where are they?
They're lower bowl, but they're side stage. See, so
that's not bad.
I kind of made a decision where I could have gone a little cheaper and be center technically, but way in the back.
Side stage.
Right. It was like $20 more per ticket to go lower bowl, but side stage. And I figured, I think if you're going to be in the roller bowl, side stage can't be too bad.
No. It's great.
But I went on your recommendation, to be honest with you, just you saying that. And
it's tremendous, man.
And
I've seen
him
a few
just,
times. He's great.
Well, like I said, the thing with my dad is like he would never pay for that ticket. But I've never, I know you guys can make fun of me about the things I've taken him to, but I've never taken him to any of these things. And then he goes like, I wish I wouldn't have gone. He always ends up, my mom will say like, oh yeah, he went to work the next day and was like, oh yeah, I saw, you know, Bob Seger. So it's one of those things that you have to just do. And then he'll love to say that he went, but he wouldn't spend the money. So
fair enough. Very good.
I can identify with that for sure.
Yeah. Not that he could say that anyways. As a dad, isn't that part of your responsibility for kids getting a gift to not ever, even if it sucks
balls?
Yeah,
he could be
balls.
Lying to you. He could be totally
He could be,
lying.
But I don't think he is. Yeah. I don't think he is only because of the certain things that, I mean, you're right. There's been times where I'm sure he's.
Oh, he's lied to you. Yeah, straight to your face.
Well, yeah.
Well, I'm sure some of my macaroni bullshit as a kid was not exactly his
favorite. Yeah, I was going to say, I've seen some of the gifts you've gotten for presents and stuff, Jay, no offense, and some of them, and it's not just you. It's like every dad that I see with kids.
Might be a lack of
they
funds.
They suck, dude.
Yeah,
the gifts are brutal. Like, you know, at Christmas this year, I hate to even say this, but I was over, you know, with Beth's family and the nephews are there, and they're just, and these kids for like a week leading up were like, they are so excited to give Mr. Mike his gift. The boys got him a gift, and they are beside themselves.
Did they buy it from the Santa gift shop at school?
Perhaps. Yeah. And it was like, leading up to it, it was like, oh, look who's here. Mr. Mike's here. And they're like, oh, your gift. I mean, it was a big deal. And I'm like, oh, fuck.
You know it's not about to be a freaking PS4, right, or something.
I mean, like, I had my fingers crossed, but I wasn't holding out much
new
hope.
New car.
McCartney tickets would have been sweet, anything. But what I got was a yellow ball that you like squeeze, and it had, I think, Pikachu on it.
Random, totally random.
Yeah. And it was like, now you're in that position of like if like you gave this to me or E, I would go, dude, what the fuck? What am I going to do with this?
This is
stupid. Yeah. And I'd throw it down and I'd storm out and be offended, you know?
But then you immediately have to become a thespian in this situation.
Yeah.
Oh my God, this is the greatest Pikachu ball I've ever been presented with.
Are you kidding me? I was looking for this everywhere. Where did you find this? And they're so excited. And so
that's what it's all about, Mike.
Yeah, you have to almost play that game with kids and like act like this is oh my God gift.
Of course.
You got. What are you throwing this at us? Jay and I spent a long time putting Big E's hopes and dreams boxes together.
Yeah, okay.
It's an empty box that you're supposed to fill with your hopes and dreams, E. It was a very thoughtful gift from us. Anyway.
You know what I will say?
Well, I hope you get to go see McCartney. You're going to want to lobby hard for that. Mow the lawn really well over the next few months.
But,
do what you can.
You know, I will say, I know this is going back, but when I said I was worthless Saturday due to NASCAR, I got to be honest about that. It wasn't hungover worthless. It's the I'm just noticing that I get tired. That's the thing. Like, I wasn't even feeling like shit. It's just staying, the idea of, like,
you're an old man, dude. Being,
yeah. I know. That's
pretty
what
soon
I'm
you're going to be presented with food as gifts. Okay, you're old.
That's bullshit.
And look forward
accept
to
it. Them. Yeah.
It is what it is. Did you guys see the Wings kind of blew up Twitter today for a while?
Is that right? Because of the expansion draft, right?
Yeah.
Leave some players open?
Yeah. The one everyone was talking about, the one that was trending the most today was
I'm still snake bit by the Rick Mahorn pick back in 88 or whatever that was.
Right.
God, was, yeah, 89, was, whenever that was.
He was left exposed.
Dude, and that moments was, after they presented these guys, like, you know, with the championship trophy at the palace. It's after the parade and all that shit. And he finds out a minute later. It was like a minute after that.
You're right.
He walked out of the arena, walked right out to his car with like a garbage bag full of this shit.
Yeah.
Picked by the Minnesota Timberwolves.
The Timberwolves. That's right. Well, I don't know if that'll happen with Mrazek, but he's the one that's been left exposed for the Wings. And, you know, I mean, they talked about him forever being number one goalie. I don't know. Some people believe the down year he's had was you know, part of the process of a growing young player. But they protected Howard, who's, you know, 33.
Yeah.
Had a decent year, but was injured quite a bit. Mrazek's, what, 25? Cheaper.
Mm-hmm.
And the future, potentially.
Probably easier for, what are they, the Vegas Knights, or what are they called?
Yeah, the
probably
Vegas.
Probably easier for them to take because of his age and contract, right?
Yeah, well, they also left is Pittsburgh's goalie just coming off the cup.
Really?
Marc-Andre Fleury or whatever? Fleury. Yeah. So they most people think the Vegas, was it the Golden Knights?
Golden Knights, okay.
Will take him as their starter. But a lot of people also think, well, you know, they'd be smart to take Mrazek and trade him. Use him as bait, you know, that you can get. So, because he's definitely a potential starter. They protected Abdelkader, no shock there. Athanasius, Mantha.
Athanasiu.
Athanasiu. Yeah. Tomas Tatar, Nyquist, Zetterberg, DeKaiser, Jimmy Howard.
Tell me they left Erickson exposed. Exposed.
Well, they've got Helm exposed.
Yep, because of the big contract.
Glenn Denning, Riley Sheehan. Yeah, Dylan Larkin and those guys are young enough.
They're protected.
They're protected if you're a first year or second year guy.
I believe so.
Yeah, so some of those guys are okay, but we won't know until, when is that draft? Shit, I should know this. Coming up, what did it say? Anyways, it's a little ways off, but you think there's more to that? Like, they just don't think Mrazek's the guy?
Oh, yeah, I'm sure they've gone back and forth in terms of a lot of it's money, age, what they have behind him, what they have in front of him. You know, it's very, very calculated. They don't throw shit like that at the wall. It's well thought out.
So the expansion draft is when? The 23rd and 24th?
Yeah, next week.
June 23rd? Okay. People were just fucking attacking the Wings, front office, though.
Hmm.
Just hammering them. People hated this, leaving him unprotected. They probably would have shit on him no matter who they left. They would have found reason, but I don't know. We'll see. And then the other thing that exploded Twitter over the weekend was the Kaz.
Yeah, mistrial.
Yeah, yeah.
They'll retry him.
You think so?
Fuck yes.
Yeah. It sounds like Cosby knew there was going to be a problem. Like, he, you know, there's people that were in his inner circle, and like, he's just such a ham. Bah. Like, he was calling it his office or his backstage area. Whenever he'd leave the court for a break or something, a recess or lunch, he would go to this. They would take him up to this third floor,
to the backstage,
and he was calling it his backstage or his green room. And he was like, "The courtroom's my stage, blah," and that whole thing. But he was like, all he kept saying was, "I only need one, just need one."
It's hard to convict, man, as it should be.
Yep. So a couple weeks of testimony. Couple weeks of deliberations. They dragged on for 50 hours plus.
It sounds like they were deadlocked from the beginning.
Yeah.
And they were bringing out jurors like almost immediately to report back to the judge. And they were like shaking their heads and really frustrated. Like, there must have been somebody who announced right off the bat, "I'm not changing."
Yeah.
"He's not guilty and I'm not changing.
You didn't
prove
it.
Either you're coming with me or we're sitting here and we're going to mistrial."
Yeah. Well, isn't that the dangerous thing? Because in the heat of the moment, the lawyers are going to come out after this is done. The judge goes, I'm sorry, we're declaring a mistrial. And the prosecutors immediately run out to the microphones and go, we're retrying, we'll start on Monday, we're ready to go. Like, and I heard a lot of experts going, yeah, in the heat of the moment, I understand why you would say that, but you need to know what was going on in that jury room.
You do, but dude, you look at the evidence, it's a very prosecutable offense here. You know, there's very strong evidence indicating guilt.
I don't know. I think it's going to be harder than people think with this particular case. That's just my opinion. I know people online are just like, this is an outrage, this is whatever, but there are holes in this story. And I want to be very clear here. I do not believe that 60 women are lying. I do not believe that's the case at all. But when you're talking about going to a courtroom, Jay, you know more than anybody, it's not easy to prosecute someone. And the holes that they're going to have going forward with this case were, first off, she took a settlement. She took whatever that settlement was years ago to make this go away. Mm. And we have seen time and time again where if you take money, you're not credible anymore. Like, what was the famous one in the OJ trial, which people hated? Remember that woman that took a payoff from the Globe?
Was it Faye Resnick?
No, it was someone you wouldn't know. It was one of the neighbors that claimed to have seen a Bronco speeding away from there, jumped the curb.
That's right, I remember that.
Remember that? And she took like a $25,000 payoff for her story.
And her credibility was shot.
They went, you can't put her on the stand. It's over. And people were like, fuck you. I don't care what she took. She's an eyewitness to OJ leaving the scene. And they were like, nope. What's her name? The chick that was the head prosecutor. And I think Marsha Clark and Darden were going back and forth on that. And she's like, no. She took a payoff. Her credibility is shot. I'm not putting her on the stand. So when you know that about, Andrea Constand, that's one thing. The other problems with this Cosby trial are, A, it was 2005. You're talking 10, 11 years ago, 12 years ago. And there was no report made then. And so you don't have any sort of evidence at all. You have people's faded memories. And she still continued to meet up with him multiple times after that. And so I think whether it's true or not, and whether psychologists say, well, this is common behavior of if you look up to someone, whatever, I think most people, when they think rapist, they have this vision in their head. Again, this is my opinion. They have this vision in their head of the guy that grabs some woman running by from the bushes.
Mask over his face.
Yeah, you don't know him.
Rapes her in the bushes.
Yes, and you go, that guy's a rapist. Oh my God, get him off the streets. But when you've got, it's easier to go, they still hung out afterwards and went to dinners. You knew we're family. Like, it's easier to look past that and go, now you're in a he said, she said. So it's just not something where it's like, he's guilty. Throw the book at him.
Right. At the same time, though, strangely enough, you have his testimony under oath about this. And so I don't know all the ins and outs of the case, but it certainly sounds like there's enough to certainly find beyond a reasonable doubt. Now, whether that'll happen, don't know. It'll be really interesting to see if it is one holdout. I bet it is. I bet it's one dude who from the beginning was like, nope, not doing it.
Yeah.
Because just to hear that there was frustration early on from the jury, there were one or more people who just wouldn't move. So if it's one guy who just, nope, he's an outlier, he's not going to move, you redo it.
Well,
you'll find jurors who are open.
And they said that the lawyers will be, pointing fingers at each other like, how did we miss this guy? The guy that fooled all of us. Our job is to make sure we spot the guy that's just going to sit there and go, fuck you. Yeah. Nope, not convicting under any circumstance. Like, search for that guy. Little subtle hints in jury selection that you can pick out and weed that dude out. Not saying that's what happened. It will be interesting. I'm sure we'll find out what the split was at some point, right?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
I mean, because if it's 6-6 or something.
Surprised we don't know it yet.
Yeah. I haven't heard anything. I mean, there's nothing that says they can't talk. Maybe we'll know.
I've been standing on a soccer field for 48 hours. So
yeah.
I'll try to find out, though.
Yeah, I would like to know that. But Cosby's acting like this is a victory. And the thing, God, it drives me nuts. And I know you always tell me to unplug and get away from this stuff. Because I end up fighting with people on Twitter. And I did that again.
Choose
over the
to be
weekend.
Happy, Mike. Oh, choose to be happy.
And here, I'm just pegged as a fucking rapist, apologist, and stuff like that. But I see these people, and I'm shocked at how many people will take the most asinine, factless take on something totally wrong. They're wrong. Mm-hmm. And tweet it out there like, I'm on my porch and I am declaring this is an outrage because, and then they go off and they say some shit, and then a bunch of people, they look like morally superior people, like, if we don't believe women, 60 women come forward, and this sends a message that we don't believe you. Well, ladies, I am here to say that I do believe you.
Well, the moral heroes are torn in this one, because he's a black guy, you know? So it's yeah. Like, what do I do?
What do I do? Yeah, but, what I saw him doing was, 60 women came forward. This is bullshit. This is why women don't come forward, because men who run the system refuse to believe women. Even 60 of them can. And I was like, okay, you know he wasn't on trial for 60 women, right? You do know that, because the accusation that you're making is like 60 women were up there.
I think they paraded 60 women up and they still found him not guilty.
Yeah, that's not what happened. The other people, unbelievable, Mr. Cosby found innocent today. This is an outrage.
Yeah, he wasn't even found not guilty, let alone innocent. Yeah. He was mistried.
Sorry.
Couldn't reach a unanimous verdict.
Yeah, he wasn't found that at all. And so I got into a fight with a guy who was, and then everyone else was, he admitted it. He admitted it in his own words and testimony. He is a rapist. He admitted it, and we still couldn't convict him. And I'm like, well, not really. He didn't really admit that. What are you talking about? You're an asshole. Yes,
he did. Went down that line, but didn't admit it.
He admitted to bringing drugs to and taking them for the use of banging chicks or during sex. I understand why you would say that. I do. I get it. But that's like saying some guy...
It doesn't close the case. People supplement things, various activities all the time with drugs. No.
So if you ask someone who went, so you went to the bar this weekend and had some drinks, you bought some drinks for some girls, were you hoping to get laid? Well, yeah, that's why I'm here. I was buying her drinks. Like you can see where it's like, well, that doesn't really make him a rapist. I mean, he's just, it is what it is. And so based on those things, I found myself fighting with people. And I finally had that moment where this guy I'm fighting with is a fucking retard. He's just retarded. He wants to be morally superior, and he's going off and, you know.
Do you enjoy these fights?
No, okay, I don't.
You got to stop then.
Well, no, I do. I do in the moment. But then when it's like, okay, you're not even hearing what I'm saying. You're just being an asshole now. And so I clicked on his profile, and he's in high school, and he's in the band.
Stop fighting with band kids on Twitter.
Like,
didn't we learn?
Well, I didn't know at the time. I thought, so here's this little Asian band member in high school who's arguing with me about the law and the facts of the Cosby trial. And finally, I'm like, all right,
and
dude,
the moral high ground.
I'm here to say, ladies, I believe you. And I'm just like, oh, dude, you're actually fighting with
a kid. It is tiring,
dude.
Social media gives everybody a voice, almost an equal one. It's just,
It does. And you know what? I think there's a, and this is going to sound stupid, but a lot of this bothers me. Maybe it shouldn't. Maybe it bothers you, Jay. Maybe it doesn't. But a lot of these cases, there's an underlying thing. Like when you blast out and say, women make 70 cents on the dollar to every guy, something like that, and you don't have any stat, like, okay, what are we talking about? Give me the details of what you're talking about. The implication is that white men run everything and are holding everybody down. When you don't convict Cosby, it's because men run the law system and are doing everything they can to fuck the brown guy, the black guy, and hold minorities down and hold women down because they don't respect women, and men are sexist pigs and they don't think rape is real. And so they refuse, blah, blah, blah. And so I keep seeing this message being blasted out that men, especially white men, are just evil. And we hate black people. We hate brown people. We hate women. We hate this. And it's just churned on social media. And it just continues to split everybody. And I'm going, no, guys, it's not just that every white guy is just an evil son of a bitch trying to dominate the world. That's not what it is. But you have to look at the facts of things and have an open mind and see, what are they looking at when they look at this case? Do you really think it's just evil white men? Or do you think maybe there's something to this, that it's hard to convict someone of rape when years have gone by,
right. You
know?
And these are people who have just read a couple news stories, haven't sat in. There's so much that goes into trial. Like, credibility issues are huge, obviously. Yeah. And to sit there and watch testimony is so different than just read a quick blurb of the summary.
Yeah.
Or summaries that don't even refer to eight different witnesses that you watch. You know, it really means a lot to be in that room and see how people are reacting to questions.
Or just read accusations that may or may not make it into a courtroom. But you see that, and that's all you know.
Yeah.
And you don't know what the instructions are per the judge. You don't know what the jury heard.
Evidence is very limited. There's a lot of fights that go on, probably in this case, for a series of months.
Shitload.
Yeah, that went on and fought tooth and nail as to what could get in and what couldn't. And so it's very focused, and both sides know what's allowed in at the beginning, and a lot of what you hear in the media or what you read is just simply not allowed.
Yeah.
For various reasons.
I thought you did a good job a week or two ago when we were talking about specifically
the
Cosby trial.
You were pretty solid about a week ago as well.
Thank you. I appreciate
you had your moments.
I struggled.
Even you had a couple JPEs, I think.
You did.
Wow. Yeah. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
And then you went into your stew.
And I got sick, and so it was a rough beginning of the week.
But
last
we were strong there for a while.
Yeah, we had a good run.
Hopefully we can get back to that.
No, I thought your point was big, because I was taking issue when I was reading about the Cosby, specifically the early stage of the trial, and the first woman they put on the stand was someone who said, oh, I was drugged by him too in a Bel Air hotel or something, and I can't remember if he jacked off on her feet or whatever, but she woke up and he's nude and I'm going, I was asking you,
yeah,
like,
why is it in?
Well, yeah, he's on trial against Andrea Constand. Why would you let this woman testify?
There's very careful rules of evidence that lawyers have to follow, and that's a 404B evidentiary issue, Mike.
No duh.
And it's fucking hugely litigated, and there's huge bodies of case law that go into what can come in terms of other acts.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was, I guarantee you, months of litigation went into that issue.
And
so they are so careful, and the judge is careful because he doesn't want to be overturned, because bet your ass if he's convicted, that's the first issue on appeal.
So that that's why you don't,
the evidence shouldn't have come in.
You don't let a bunch of these in, because then it could tilt it and be unfair to the guy on trial.
At bottom, the guy needs to be tried for the allegation for the act at issue, but there are exceptions sometimes. Mm-hmm. When you're showing, you know, you're trying to show plan and some sort of, you know, absence of mistake and things like that, a modus operandi.
Mm-hmm.
And so some of that can come in at times, and we don't know the facts of all that and how it was argued, but believe me, that was argued at length, ad nauseum, and the judge was very careful to feel confident that that was appropriate. Because again, nobody wants to get overturned, and the prosecution doesn't want to go through this, bring in evidence, you know, ha, we got that in. Well, dude, if you're going to get overturned, why bring it in and waste your time?
And money.
Yeah.
It becomes irrelevant. And you know that was a big fight because of Gloria Allred afterwards, who took to the podium. You know, the defense comes out and acts like, we won, this is great. You know, hey, Cosby's going on tour, doing stand. It's like, no, dude, no, you're not. You did not win. You're not found not guilty. You were not found innocent of shit. You could very likely...
mistried.
Yeah, it was a mistrial, which means a giant waste of time and money for everyone involved. And so Gloria Allred comes out and says, well, we got screwed on this one. Everyone knows he's guilty. And hopefully on the next trial, which is coming, we'll get these 50 women into court to give their testimony about blah, blah. And I'm like, yeah, that's not going to happen, Gloria.
Yeah.
You know it. I mean, Jay told me how the 404B works, and that ain't going to happen. And you know it, Gloria. You're playing a role here for the media and the cameras.
You want a soundbite, Gloria? That's what Gloria is all about.
Yeah. She was wearing all red. I don't know if you've seen that.
That's catchy.
Yeah. The other trial, and I'm interested to hear your take on this, Jay, because at face value, I'm with the public on this one, like, fucking killer. And it's that cute little blonde girl that talked Conrad Roy III into committing suicide.
Yeah.
And she was found guilty of fucking manslaughter this weekend.
I know.
And
they say involuntary manslaughter?
Yeah. She's looking at 20 years, dude. 20 years.
Yeah.
And so there are all kinds of lawyers that are coming out going, look, she's a monster. Let's be clear about that. But careful what you wish for. And I thought you were saying that early on when I was talking about this.
Yeah, I mean,
this.
It's kind of a groundbreaking thing. I don't know. Go on.
Well, yeah, I'll read you some of the details. So this is in Massachusetts, and that's key to this story as to why they found the way they did. So it was in a juvenile court in Massachusetts. Her name is Michelle Carter, and she was convicted of killing Conrad Roy III with her words. And so legal and cyber issues experts caution the punishment may not fit the crime. I draw a line between moral and legal implications of what she did, this professor of law and criminal justice at Northeastern University School of Law. In terms of morality, what she did is despicable, but that doesn't constitute manslaughter, and that's the problem. Roy was 18. Then he was 18, took his life in 2014, one of those where he pumped carbon monoxide into his truck.
Mm-hmm. And he was texting with her, and she's like, get back in the truck, you pussy.
Just do it already.
Yeah, just do it. There was like, wasn't there like 1,000 texts on the subject?
Yeah, between them. Yeah. Yes, totally. Not that day.
Right. But sort of leading up to the thing. And then she tried to play like the poor girlfriend who was left. Yeah, woe is me. Oh my God.
Feel sorry for me.
Yeah, I just loved him. And he took himself away from me kind of thing. And then she they got into these texts.
Remember the charity softball game? She was lining up.
Oh, that was her whole thing.
She wanted to be the felt sorry for girl who lost this guy. And, you know, she was looking for that kind of celebrity, you know, everyone's thinking about her and talking about her kind of thing. So, so she's trading texts with him while he's sitting in the cab there. And she's like, the time is right. You're ready. You just need to do it. In reaching the verdict, the judge, Lawrence Monads, focused instead on her text messages to a friend after his death. In that text, she confessed to persuading Roy to return to his truck after he'd stepped out of it. Get back in, she told Roy. Carter did not issue a simple additional instruction, get out of the truck. While Carter's words were heartless, experts say that the law, the letter of the law is being stretched. True, her words caused great harm, but they didn't kill this young man. He chose to kill himself. The case is likely far from over. Now, the things that they're worried about here are like, and what you're not thinking of, because it's easy to look at something like this and just go, oh my God, what a monster. Because if I remember correctly, and correct me if I'm wrong, Jay, he was kind of one of these dudes that was, oh my God, I'm depressed, kind of effeminate in a way. They were boyfriend and girlfriend, but it was more of a virtual boyfriend, girlfriend.
They lived a ways away, didn't see each other a lot.
Yeah.
She was gross. Why would you?
Yeah, well, I don't think that was the problem, but so he kept threatening suicide, and she's like, oh, you're a pussy, you'd never do it anyways, and he's like, yes, I will do it. She's like, no, you won't, and so this goes on for weeks or months, and finally she's like, you know what, I think you should, it's obviously not going to get better, you're clearly depressed for life, so it's time you manned up and just killed yourself.
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah, you're probably right, and he's like, and so they like picked a day,
man,
and it was like, Thursday, I'm going to do it. And so all day Thursday, he's texting her like, I don't know if I can do it to my family. And she's like, I'll be there for them. They're going to be fine. This will be behind all of them in no time. We'll think of you fondly. It's time. You need to do it. And so finally, she convinces him. He's like, I'm in my truck. I think I'm going to do it. She's like, just do it. And that's when he got out of the truck, when it's filling up with the carbon monoxide. Mm-hmm. And he's like, I don't think I can do it. She's like, you pussy, get back in that truck.
Yeah.
It's time to end this. So on paper, you look at that and you go, she's a monster. Fuck her. She's a sociopath. She talked him into killing himself. Fuck her. Throw her away. Be done with it. The problem is, it's very to set that precedent that someone not within 100 miles of the place, involuntary manslaughter.
Yeah, the classic involuntary manslaughter is you're speeding. You know, you're speeding or you're drunk and you hit somebody. Didn't mean to hit them, didn't mean to kill them, but they die.
Yeah. You didn't go out there with malice
to
kill someone.
And so you've acted in a way that's reckless in regard to another person, and you killed them during that process.
Yeah. With no regard for their safety or well-being, whatever. However they word it.
Knew or should have known that your conduct was a threat, but you did it anyway.
Right. And so, but legal experts are saying, okay, it seems extreme,
but dude, it does fit that, you know?
Yeah.
That the elements are there. It does fit those elements, but it does stretch what we're used to.
Mm-hmm. But when you set that precedent, and precedent is so key, and you can explain precedent and why it's so important, but for a case like this, now, when you take it a step further and you're talking about end-of-life discussions, or something like that, or if you get into a heated fight with your girlfriend, Beth and I are screaming at each other all night, you know, fuck you. Oh, yeah, fuck you. You'll be sorry when I'm gone. Oh, yeah, you don't have the balls. Fuck you. You don't think so? I'll kill myself. Good. And that's the end of your conversation. Did you convince her to kill herself? Like now, so it's a very fine line. Did you not do enough to talk a friend out of suicide now?
Right.
And why I said earlier that it was important that this was in Massachusetts was a lot of states have on the books laws against suicide prevention. Like if you know something you have to do, so they can charge you with something much smaller if you didn't do enough to alert people that this inevitable
suicide
thing was going to
imminent.
Yeah, that there was a real problem here and you could have reacted and helped and you didn't. And boom, we apply this law in this case. Massachusetts doesn't have anything like that. And they said maybe in the end, because this will get appealed, and we'll start this over, but maybe this will give them that, you know, they'll put a law on the books going forward. But
to properly punish this monster.
Well, I don't think they can apply it
monster.
For her. I know, right. Dude.
Scary. No, I mean, she needs to be punished. This chick, this is,
Do you want to explain why precedent is so important?
We live in a case law system. We operate in a case law system, Mike. So not only do we have statutes, we have laws on the books, but mm-hmm. laws don't cover every inch of our conduct.
It should. Why don't we fix that?
And in large part, we have enough laws. We don't need more, Mike. In large part, how our conduct is ruled in society is based on prior cases, and that kind of flows from the British system. We kind of borrowed that, and the idea is, hey, you know, the court saw a case like this, and they ruled like this. So they didn't necessarily apply a law, but they applied common law,
mm-hmm.
and so from that comes a precedent that's then applied down the line to the same set of facts. So as a lawyer, a lot of times you're not specifically citing a statute or a law that's on the books, but you're saying, hey, look at People versus Jones. This is how they held in mm-hmm. People versus Jones. This is exactly like it. And the other side's going, no, it's not. It's distinguishable because of this and this. You should hold like People v. Schmidt instead, which mm-hmm. said this. So
there, you're getting into the weeds with a lot of how that works. But when you have cases that lawyers can point to and go, Your Honor, this, why are we even having a trial here? This has already been set. Precedent was set in Carter versus Roy III in 2017. Clearly, she didn't talk him out of suicide. She knew where this was going, and she didn't do something. So some poor kid's up there on the stand, and you know his girlfriend threatened to commit suicide, and he went, good, fuck you. No one will miss you anyways. And now he's up for involuntary manslaughter, you know, and so...
Then the other side tries to distinguish it, argue it's a bad law. It's sitting out on its own anyway. That mm-hmm. judge was crazy to allow that to go forward. And, you know, so one case doesn't change the whole legal system, but it is a brick on which to build on.
Yeah. The other thing that people need to think about is your kids, even when they get on social media and start tormenting someone or trolling someone, bullying someone, like this all kind of sets a little level, like you said, a brick mm-hmm. of which to start building on, where it's like little Joey wouldn't have committed suicide and hung himself in his closet if not for these five assholes at school who relentlessly fucking bullied him online. And now, does that count as like you push someone over the edge?
Maybe it should.
Yeah, believe me, there's an argument to be made for that, because there's very few people who are going to feel for Michelle here. I mean, she's as bad as they get, you know. God, changing gears. You see the some outrage going on. I mean, it's just we have outrage all the time. Wheel of Fortune.
I saw this
during their Southern Charm Week. And I guess this is an old episode and it's just a rerun.
Yeah, but somebody spotted something in the background that was troubling.
He should have been looking, you know, at Vanna White's titties, like, see how are they holding up, you know, that kind of thing.
He is, isn't he? Pat Sajak?
Yeah, no, I mean the viewer was supposed to be focused on, like, oh, how's Vanna holding up or whatever. But instead, they have, like, images in the background. And so during Southern Charm Week, they had this plantation shot in the background, and these two women are seen in the background who appear to be slaves. And so this guy's like, are you shitting me?
Why do they appear to be slaves? Because they're African American?
They're black and they're wearing clothes of the day from the 18. This. Maybe you can find it, E, and blow up a better picture of it.
They're wearing Aunt Jemima outfits.
Yeah, they
essentially.
Are. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's going to slide a picture over here for you. Do you have it there? Yeah.
Does look circa 1830 or so.
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, E. You just had it, too.
I know.
Oh, for crying out loud. Anyway, so this is just one of those, like, they use as a backdrop behind the Wheel of Fortune as they're discussing things. And so...
they support slavery.
Oh, my God. They love slavery. Of course, that's the attitude taken. Someone please tell me why at Wheel of Fortune has slaves in their Southern Charm Week images, wrote outraged
God.
Twitter user Joshua. He just wants to be clear. Joshua wants to be clear.
What a hero.
I mean, look what I'm pointing out here. This is something for us to be outraged, and I want to be clear that I am on the side that is against slavery, and I can prove it, because I am outraged at this image.
Look what I found.
Those are slaves back there.
Yeah, it does look like a screenshot out of Gone with the Wind or something.
Yeah. So Joshua Itiola shared the video of the rerun and immediately...
Thank you, Joshua. Yeah, thank you so much.
The world went into hero mode with Joshua for pointing this out because obviously NBC and the Wheel of Fortune producers were trying to just subtly let everyone know that we hate black people. We wish it... Slavery was still around.
It's that one frame of delicious golden popcorn that flips into the movie and you're watching and you're like, God, I could use some delicious golden popcorn.
And it's just ingrained. It's just a subtle, subtle thing. And so a lot of people on TV do this. They try to subtly slip in where they can.
I'm like, watching that. I'm like, Pat Sajak looks like a weasel. Slavery. Pat Sajak looks like a weasel.
Slavery wasn't so bad. Most of them were treated fairly, I think. That's the impression. Anyway, so after his tweet, so many people... took to Twitter to jump on Joshua's bandwagon and express their total outrage at this. Many, many people green-lighted this. That's how you know that there are no people of color on the staff there.
Oh, man.
Yeah. The image actually is two African-American women captured by producers back in 2005. They were on location at the Oak Alley Plantation in Louisiana when the photo was taken. Shortly after the backlash, Wheel of Fortune's executive producer released a statement.
What is the circumstance that they're in, like, period garb, though?
I'll tell you after his statement. Okay. We regret the use of the background image, and we'll be replacing it moving forward for all future rebroadcasts. Well, this place is a historical landmark now. It's one of those...
So it's like going to Greenfield Village. People are dressed in the garb.
Yeah.
Period garb.
Now...
Got the guy riding the big bike with the huge front wheel. Huge and the little one in the back, which is... It just seems like a strange thing to do.
Yeah.
You know? That's really how you're going to start this whole bicycle thing? With one fucking huge wheel?
It does seem weird. It seems like someone would have tried... Man. Even if the front was a little bit bigger. A little bit.
Right.
But not just like... What would make you go like
four times, eight times the size?
I'm thinking we go with a tire like 3 inches round circumference.
We'll put that one in the back.
In the back. And then for the front one.
I'll climb up a fucking ladder and dive onto this thing.
How about it'll be as tall as you? All right. Yeah, that sounds totally doable. Let's do that. Perfect. And that stuck for a while,
it did.
Too.
It stuck.
It stuck.
Stucked.
The Oak Alley Plantation was a plantation where they picked sugarcane back in the day, and they had a shitload of slaves. I mean, loads of slaves. Mm-hmm. And I don't think they treated them very well. I think this is one of those plantations in Louisiana where it was like a lot of them fucking died. A lot of them worked 18 hours a day out in the sun.
Kunta Kinte became Toby there.
Yeah. And it was like, and a lot of them were women. They had the women working out there, and there was like no pesticides in fields. So it was just like, ticks and Lyme disease, you know what I mean?
I know how they feel.
Yeah.
Well, just come on. I mean,
strictly speaking of the tick.
Yeah.
Possibility.
Single tick bite.
That's
as far as it goes, mm-hmm. me knowing how they feel.
So anyway, that was like the history of this plantation. Obviously, they don't still have slaves today. It's a historical landmark though, and so people go to this big house. I mean, it's gorgeous. It's set off the Mississippi River, I think. By like 800 feet, but that 800 foot walk is like one path up to this door of what looks like the White House.
Yeah.
And these oak trees have line both sides of the path, and they've grown into each other, like all weaved.
Sure.
Like. And so that's why they call it Oak Alley.
Ah.
And it's just, it's unbelievable.
Sort of like Forrest Gump's, driveway.
Yeah. And they do tours now where you can go there and spend hours and learn the history of the plantation. They've got a whole wing dedicated to the slavery and what that was like, what it was like for the people there.
And how it's inappropriate and not supported now.
Yes, exactly. Still, I was like, yeah, but that's still, boy, oh boy. So what are those, supposed to be slaves in the picture there? Like, what are we doing here? Like, it still felt a little weird, but that's the story of that picture anyways.
Yeah.
I don't know that makes it right. I certainly don't think Wheel of Fortune was out to like promote slavery.
You never know, Mike.
Can't say for sure. Anyway, let's take a break, Jay. Mm-hmm. And maybe we should talk about what's going on with that Navy ship.
Yes,
all
man.
The details.
A naval destroyer rammed by some fucking freighter.
Yeah.
A Philippine freighter. Yeah.
That's
something's fishy.
Like, how do you,
dude?
I don't know.
It seems like a lot of ocean. It seems like just move over a little bit.
And like really big boats too. You know,
I can see it.
Anyway, we'll get into that more next.
The Detroit Cast continues after this short break.
During this break from Mike and Jay's hard-hitting analysis of the latest stories about dead babies or strangely shaped tumors out of India, I want to encourage you to contact Brent Wasik about insurance. Yeah, I know, auto, home, and life insurance isn't as exciting as the latest toic, but it's important that you have the insurance coverages you need at the lowest possible price. Call Brent today at 734-455-1900 for a free quote. Brent's been in the insurance business 29 years, almost as long as Big E has resided in his poor parents' basement. And he's affiliated with tons of insurance companies, so he can shop for the very best prices. Call Brent today, 734-455-1900.
The Detroit Cast continues now, bitches. Here's Mike and Jay.
Who's got AIDS?
I didn't give him those AIDS. Welcome back, everybody, to the Detroit Cast. Mike and Jay.
Jay, do you mind?
No.
If I go on record really quick, I kind of feel bad, and some of this stuff eats at me more than it should. And I want to state for the record that I understand that I sound like an asshole when
I'm... You are really getting defensive lately. Yeah. Don't you sense that, E? Hasn't he been kind of like... He's been apologizing a lot for his views.
Yeah, it's, maybe well, a little more than he has at points, for sure.
I wish more people would listen to me because I'm right. I'm just right. And here's the thing.
I tend to agree with you. So I tend to agree with you before you apologize. So
I understand why it people would go, dude, what are you doing? Why are you arguing with a fucking 18-year-old on Twitter? Like,
awesome.
I might say that, for example.
For example. Yeah. Like, don't you have better things to do? What do you care? And my point is, because I feel like I'm on the wrong side of history.
Are you a voice in the wilderness?
Maybe. I feel like I'm on the wrong side of history with a lot of these stories. Like, it's very easy to just paint someone as a racist or a sexist. Or
trannies are mentally ill, let's be honest.
Well, yeah, okay. Sure. Even though we're probably on the wrong side of history with that, too. But my
I'm not saying
thing
beat
is,
them up. I'm just saying they're mentally ill.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's all you said. I don't think there's anything wrong with that, but you're a monster in a lot of people's eyes. It's just the way it is.
So be it.
I don't like seeing what I'm seeing and why it seems so clear to me that having attitudes like this lead to what happened last week in Virginia when some nut job goes off and shoots at Congress members. That guy almost died, dude. Steve Scalise, that dude seriously came close to dying. And that is 100% because of rhetoric that's built up. And so when I see kids, especially younger people.
Just buying into it.
With an
hook,
outlet,
line, and sinker.
Yeah. And not seeming essentially to care what the facts are. That's my problem. I'm not saying Bill Cosby isn't a fucking monster and a rapist. He very well probably is. But that doesn't mean you just take whatever story you believe to be true and then throw it out there and then gin up all this shit. And a lot of the fingers keep being pointed back to evil white men are doing this to all of us. And they're
it's
not
been decades, dude.
No, I know, but it's getting worse than ever. It's getting worse than ever. And to me, it's like, does nobody care? Because if you even point out, like, dude, you're just factually inaccurate with your statement here. Even then, it's just like, oh, he's a racist. And then the venom. And it's like, to me, I see that playing out down the road and going, this isn't going to be good when you've got a whole group of people that are growing up believing this rhetoric. They're believing this. That's going to have real world consequences at some point. And that's why it's important. And that's why I bitch about it a lot. And I know I sound fixated on it at times, but that's why, because it doesn't surprise us what happened in Virginia.
Not in the least.
In the least, right? It doesn't. And I think
it
if things were
surprising you if it was a guy on the right who did it to the left either.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. Even Ted Nugent over the weekend came out and was like, yeah, we got to pull back on some of this rhetoric and shit. I mean, even Ted Nugent was like, yeah, this isn't helping. My words haven't helped other people's words, but this is real. I guess his wife and his daughter sat him down and was just like, hey, Ted.
Yeah.
Might be time to just kind of cool it a little bit. You know, he's like, I'm used to getting the death threats every day. Every day on Facebook, I get multiple death threats. But, you know, this isn't good where this is going. And that seems very, very clear to me. And so I just, you know, I hope it changes. I hope I'm wrong, but that's why I bitch about it so much.
One Twitter user at a time, Mike, you will change minds.
I know. I just don't see the other side being represented very well on Twitter. Maybe that's the problem.
Yeah.
And so it's just like one giant echo chamber of
how gracious of you, Mike, to take that on.
Well, I'm trying.
Some
would
say hero.
Hey, if it requires me being known as a misogynist, racist, Nazi, xenophobe, homophobe, transphobe, Islamophobe,
that's all right.
Then so be it. You know, if I need to be the martyr that parades that flag around town,
history will shine on you, sir.
Representing all white devils, then that's what I'll do. That's what I'll do. I'll do that for all of you. You're welcome. Now, the Navy destroyer.
Yeah.
What's going on, Mike? What's going on with this, Jay? I hope you did your research on this story.
So here's what I know. We got a naval destroyer tooling around, I don't know, Japan region, right?
56 nautical miles off Japan. Off the coast? Yeah, sure.
The Japanese region?
Actually, it was the coast of Yokosuka, Japan.
Sure.
We're all familiar with Yokosuka.
Doing its thing, you know? Going around.
All Navy and ship-like.
And stealth and shit. I think that thing totally has like stealth capabilities and stuff, and that's one.
It's the Fitzgerald, the SS Fitzgerald.
Oh, don't get me started on.
I know
the Edmund Fitzgerald.
It's not the Edmund.
Okay. Well, is it possible it was in stealth mode and it got rammed because this other freighter just didn't sense it on radar and shit? Is that possible?
I don't know, and I haven't heard many theories on that. All I heard was that the ship that hit the Fitzgerald was four times its size.
Is it true?
Huge.
Said vessel did a U-turn.
I don't know that.
Prior to colliding with our naval members.
What are you saying,
that perhaps it was intentional?
Ooh. Well, the people at Nippon Yusen Kaisha are going to take offense at that. They said the company, they're the company that chartered the ACX Crystal. They released three statements over the weekend regarding the container ship's collision with the Fitzgerald. The company said there were no injuries on board the Crystal, no oil spilled from the ship. It also confirmed that the ship had arrived in Tokyo Bay. Well, those are three.
Are we correct, though? It's a Filipino ship.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, ISIS is in the Philippines, as we know.
Oh no,
oh, Mike!
Are you calling a coal?
Is this a coal situation? Remember when coal happened, and it was kind of like just a blip on the radar.
What year was that? The SS Cole.
I don't remember, but it was definitely a blip. I mean, it was a concern. Like, what the fuck? How does this thing just tool up to the side of one of our ships and blow up and kill four guys or whatever? Mm-hmm. And it was an annoyance more than anything.
Yeah,
but dude, that was the lead up with a lot of the Al-Qaeda shit, and this could. Definitely.
And wasn't it, I think it was after 9/11 and when the law enforcement was conducting their interviews with a lot of these terrorists where they found out exactly what the SS Cole, the tie-in and it was definitely a terrorist attack.
Attack in the morning of 12th of October, 2000.
Yeah. So it was right before 9/11. The guys here, and I don't really know what happened. It sounds like they were rammed at like 2:20 in the morning, and wherever they were, it starts taking water, and these seven, you know, Navy guys are found in this like sleeping container
that they were able to close off and stop the flooding from taking out the rest of the ship. Isn't that amazing how they can do that? Just close it off and
They said they had to work their asses off to make sure that thing didn't just go under. Like, it's crazy to think that humans would be capable of stopping something like that. You know what I mean?
Just pumping water all the way back.
Yeah.
And pulled by tugboats.
So the sailors were identified as gunner's mate seaman Dakota Rigsby, 19-year-old. God, 19-year-old from Palmyra, Virginia. Virginia Yeoman, Yeoman Third Class.
Seaman.
Yeah. Shingo Douglas, 25, from San Diego. We had a sonar tech third class, Ngok.
Just to be clear, they're all seamen, but then yeoman is a subset of a seaman?
Sure.
Okay.
But I would think they would identify...
I wanted to know, would you rather be a seaman or a yeoman? Obviously, you'd rather be a yeoman, but I think they're all generally seamen.
Well, they don't say that, though. They say yeoman third class. We've got a sonar tech third class, but they don't say sonar third class seaman.
Well, maybe it's just redundant. Like you wouldn't say, you know, soldier. Like you're, you know, an army soldier.
Well, they said
but they're
going
to say like sergeant.
But clearly, gunner's mate seaman Dakota got that label.
That's interesting.
And we've got a fire controlman, second class, Carlos Victor Sabayan, 23-year-old from Chula Vista, California. Yeah, terrible story. The U.S. ship sustained damage on its starboard side and experienced flooding in some spaces. They described the damage as extensive. It was a big puncture and gash below the waterline on one side of the ship. The ship is salvageable, will require some significant repair. You will see the Fitzgerald back. It will take months. But
gentlemen, it appears that you climb out of seaman status. You start as a seaman recruit, seaman apprentice, a seaman, and then petty officer third class, petty officer second, petty officer first.
You think those guys are really happy when they reach the officer ranks and get out of that whole seaman world?
Yeah, you climb out of that.
Yeah. You know, I mean, for, you know, whatever. But I just think that a lot of those guys, there's got to be at least a handful of them were like, man, just.
Handful of seamen?
Yeah. That are just like, get me out of seamen. I want to be out of seamen.
Move into petty officer.
You know, I mean, guys for as long as time has existed have been trying to distance themselves from seamen.
But and make no mistake, they are all wearing Popeye outfits.
Yeah.
Which. Yeah. I mean, if I'm presented with the choice of military branches, isn't that right? Don't you cross Navy off just because of that?
Well, my dad didn't. Does that mean my dad was a seaman at one point?
Dad was probably a seaman, and he was probably wearing a Popeye outfit. If you look hard, you probably find a shoebox at home with your dad in a Popeye outfit.
Yeah. I'll have to ask him, because I know he was a lieutenant.
I suggest you do that, and you bring a copy in, stat.
Yeah, of what his stats were, what he was.
I want to know. I want to see him in a Popeye outfit.
All right, I'll try to find something. He's never mentioned if he was a seaman. I don't know if that's
It's not
like,
something you mention at the dinner table. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like Christmas dinner. Oh, guys.
But I know, like my mom had something made, like, of his naval days, and there's a lot of lieutenant references, and, you know, a lot of
He was an officer.
You know, things like that. But, you know, he started somewhere. You would think you would start at the beginning of your career, and it's like a lot of seminal references would be mentioned, too. And I don't know.
If you want to boil it down, we were all seamen at one point.
Yeah, that's true. I'll have to ask him, and maybe it's something he doesn't want to talk about. A lot of guys don't want to talk about their military days, you know, things they went through, tough times.
How about when you dropped the bomb on the farm?
Yeah, he'll talk about that, but I've never heard him mention, oh, back when I was a seaman. No, he just doesn't. Yeah, I'll ask him. I know when I was dealing, I told you I went deaf over the weekend.
Yeah.
Apparently he's like, well, how long has this been going on? He was asking me a bunch of questions because apparently he's had this issue too. And he totally blames his jet flying days.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He's like, yeah, you know, I did what I could to protect my ears. I was like, oh, yeah, what do you mean? And he's like, I wore a helmet. He's like, yeah. He's like, you're just around jet engines all day, and they're taking off and landing, and you just didn't know. And he said, you know, I've just been dealing with this forever, and sure, that's what it is, you know. It's like, well, that's not what I wasn't around a lot of jet engines, so.
Just had a bunch of wax build up.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, everybody, check out the Detroit Cast listener business page. It's a page under the Help the Show tab on our website, DetroitCast.com. The page includes businesses owned by listeners. Take a look. It'd be great to support the supporters of the show. This is something that will be growing over time. So make sure you're coming back to it. And most importantly, make sure you're using the businesses and recommending them to friends and family. Today's featured listings are DRKM Strategies. They specialize in helping independent small businesses grow by using proven internet marketing methods. They entice new customers to find you online through websites, SEO, local search, and social media. And also, our other featured listing is Dustin's Mowing and Grounds. I have used them for a big-ass pile of mulch, which served me well.
Did that go well? You happy with it?
I finally got it. I got it spread.
Oh, were you that guy that had a mountain in his driveway for like 2 weeks?
I might have been.
Ooh, yeah.
Yeah, I had a neighbor come over, and he's like, oh, good, you're finally finishing up. Sorry, man.
Yeah.
It's like, no, I was going to try to buy the rest off you. I figured you were done with it. Like, no,
I haven't started
yet. It took
me
3 weeks.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Dustin's really Mowing and Grounds, they serve Oakland and Livingston counties. They provide lawn, landscaping, snow and ice services for both commercial and residential customers. You will notice a difference.
Good. I could use their services at some point. I'm going to need one of those mulch drops, too, at some point, maybe. Did you get the dark stuff or the lighter wood
dark
chips?
Dude.
Yeah, isn't that the shit? I think the dark is so much better.
Oh yeah, I don't see many people going light anymore.
Yeah.
Some freaks go like red and shit.
Yeah, that's ballsy. Dark, it's a ballsy move. It's
classy. Go dark.
Yeah, I love the dark. Just really quick, they did upgrade Steve Scalise's whatever
status
status over the weekend. Yeah, thank you.
From critical to not so critical?
Not quite as critical, but serious.
Sever an artery? The dude was bleeding out, right?
Yeah. They said that, you know, taking a shot from an assault rifle is just devastating. Devastating to the body. And so, you know, I was thinking, as the majority whip who was shot in the hip, like, that's a good place to be shot. And maybe not so good.
You know
good.
How complicated everything is in there? And then you've got bullet fragments.
Yeah.
The thing's built to explode and go through as much as it can.
Yeah. I was thinking more about that. It was like the hip. When I think of the hip bone, like, I think of a femur or something. It's like, yeah, it goes through there. But the hip, for some reason, it seems like there's a lot working there.
A lot going
and
on.
It just kind of explodes.
Yeah.
And then it was like, I don't want to be shot in the hip. Although, if you had to be shot and you're the majority whip.
It's pretty catchy.
Yeah, God, dude. No one's going to forget the majority whip was shot in the hip.
Where was that whip shot? Fuck.
Yeah.
In the hip.
In the ankle? Boom. No, there was something catchy about it. Wait, the majority whip who was shot in the hip. He was shot in the hip, yeah. But it doesn't sound good. Anyway, they said that it entered his hip, traversed his pelvis, shattered blood vessels, bones, internal organs all along its pass. Or its path. He arrived via a helicopter in shock with intense internal bleeding. There are hundreds of bullet fragments in his body. We have no intention of trying to remove all those. Nonetheless, we fully expect him to be able to walk, hopefully run at some point.
Oh, it sucks.
I feel a lot more confident. This is one of his surgeons. A lot more confident than I did even a day or two ago. I think his risk of death right now is substantially lower than it was when he came in. He was as critical as you can be when he came in.
That's something. The reports were kind of like, oh, he's shot in the hip.
Yeah. So, yeah.
He'll live. No, dude. hit organs, severed arteries.
Yeah.
An artery.
They said it was as bad as it gets. And I think the chick is still in the hospital. The cop. Chick was shot in the ankle.
Shot fired.
What was her name? Let's see. Crystal Griner.
Yeah.
Was shot in the ankle. And
she
tried
her best.
Man, I'm doing my dangest out there. I heard she's a lesbian too.
Huh.
I don't know why that was important. But people were pointing that out that, you know, a black female lesbian had to save the white man from you know, from death or something like that. And I was just like, oh, okay, great. Here we go. Of course, you know, this is where we're going. And then the other guy who was great, I don't know if you saw, you know how they were practicing for that softball game or that baseball game that they play in? Well, they actually played the game the next
baseball
day.
Baseball or softball?
It's baseball.
Really?
Dude. Yes. And they like, they'll only pick people that they think can handle like the game.
Yeah.
These guys take it extremely seriously. It's terrible baseball. I watched a bunch of it, but I know Scalise took one in the hip and that sucks, but dude, they sold that game out and made threefold what they thought they were going to make.
That's made
$1 million before the game ever even started. So in that respect, it was good. And they had David Bailey, who was the cop that took that guy down to Chinatown. And he was shot, but he got out of the hospital and was there. And they like paraded him out to a standing ovation. He got to throw out the first pitch. He was on crutches.
Hell yeah.
And he's standing
the day after.
He's standing on the mound with like a crutch under one arm. And, you know, he kind of did his best to get it to home plate and one hopped it in there. But
yeah, that's all right. We'll forgive that.
Yeah. But people were just like, I mean, this guy's a rock star now. You know, a standing ovation, all the congressmen and
deserves
and
it.
All that. So.
When does your thing start? When does your favorite game start? I mean, the searching and the, you know.
Who was David Bailey?
Yeah.
Who is David Bailey? That's not going to happen, is it?
Let's just throw this in
just
here.
In case anyone was wondering about David Bailey. You know, I mean,
how his last marriage ended.
I told that to.
What he was accused of, not saying he's guilty, but some people claim he beat the dog shit out of his wife and hasn't made a payment to child support in 3 years. Just in case anyone's interested.
Because I told that to Mike the other day, because I'm like, it's funny, because now, because he mentioned that, I think about it for anything, and people that didn't even, like, they weren't even meant to be heroes. They were just doing their job as a cop. And then it's like all of a sudden like, oh, wow.
Yeah, when did that start, man?
Do you remember one
where it was like, what the fuck?
The one that makes that disturbs me the most is the gorilla that was killed in the Ohio Zoo, where the stepdad of the kid wasn't even there at all. And they're like, by the way, kid's stepdad.
Supportive dad. Yeah, that was bullshit.
And they listed all these, like, his criminal record going back to 91.
And the dude totally turned it around. He had nothing for like 15 years, and he was supporting the family and had nothing to do with it.
And it was just like, dude, I don't even know what you were implying. It's not like he was there and, boy, to show you how irresponsible he's been all his life, of course he turned his back on his child in a moment and the kid fell in the Harambe.
Of course he would marry someone and sire a child with a woman that would do that. You know what I mean? It's almost like you had to infer his past conduct onto his wife, onto the kid.
Right. And it's like, when we were reading that at the time, it was like, I remember we were like second, like, wait a minute, was he even there? He wasn't even there.
No.
He wasn't even at the zoo.
No, he was at work.
Day. He was at work. You're right.
Supporting his family.
Yes. And it was like, boy, that's a shit. Like, that poor guy is like, are you shitting me, man? Right. I've worked the last 10 years to turn my life around and put that behind me. And this unrelated story at all drops all this about me. It's a thing that, you know, black people have taken the brunt of a lot of this. But, you know, that when people bitch about, like, come on, man, you know, this kid gets shot by a cop and all of a sudden you paint him as this monster. You've taken everything in his past and laid it out here. And they're like, well, here's his picture of graduating, whatever, you know, and trying to repair this. And, and it's really kind of an unfair shot, you know, kind of a dig at people like, well, before you go thinking he's a victim, how about this?
Right.
You know, and they all do it, but.
Shit media.
Yeah, it does seem unfair in a lot of respects. Anyway, Jay, how are we doing for...
We do have some email, Mike, but before we get to that, I would like to read some posts. Mike, postcard collection is really growing.
It's your day.
I'm looking forward to this summer because I know a lot of our listeners are around the country at various interesting places. And I want post. Radio for One Studios, P.O. Box 250268, Franklin, Michigan, 48025.
Yeah.
If you're interested in posting in. Here's one from...
Did they ask you, by the way, like, what's with all the postcards?
No.
No?
No. No one has yet. Jay, from one alumni to another, Spartion from Jen. So here's a picture of Clarence L. Munn Ice Arena, constructed in 1974. The ice arena is named for Biggie Munn, Michigan State University's outstanding football coach from 1947 to 54.
Biggie Munn?
And athletic director, 1954 to 1971. You all know Munn Ice Arena.
Sure.
You've been in that field next to that.
Wait.
Munn Ice Arena, it's right across from Breslin. It's where you've partied many, many times.
Okay, so Munn Field is where we would have our parties
before football games. Correct.
Okay, so that's why I'm like, wait a minute. I don't remember being at the Ice Arena.
That's the Ice
Arena. Okay. Yeah.
Mike Poston, instigator, litigator, and back of van masturbator. Greetings from Germany. No, I don't live here, but my job involves lots of travel. I just wanted to thank you guys for keeping the travel tolerable with your wit and humor. Mm. Sorry I couldn't find a card with boobs on it, but this one shows what happened last time Americans visited en masse. Take care and keep it up. And here's a picture of a before and after. So we've got, Frankfurt in 1945 just bombed to fuck.
Yeah.
Do you see that church still standing? And you can see it in the now picture. See that church?
Oh, wow. Yeah.
See what's been built up around it?
Yeah.
It's risen from the ashes, Frankfurt has.
Oh, we did them a favor.
They brought a lot of that on themselves, though. I got to be honest with you, Jay.
Yeah, I think in that instance they did, Mike.
Yeah. I mean, we didn't want to do that to them. The might
would have rather not.
Of the U.S. military, we don't like flexing that muscle unless we have to. And I got to say, as beautiful as it looks now, that picture on the left was brought on by their own actions.
Yeah.
Sorry. No other way to say it.
Strong argument can be made for that, Mike. Yep. Nick writes in, steel coils. I'm a bit behind, so forgive me if this has been addressed, but those steel coils, like the ones that fell off the flatbed and almost killed Jay.
Yeah, I remember them.
Are used to make cars. That is a big coil of sheet metal at the plant. It will be unrolled, cut into sections, and eventually stamped in automotive parts. Makes sense. It all makes sense to me now.
Sure.
There are other uses for them, but being someone who hauled these coils for years, automotive was always the most common. Do you think it's possible that Nick's poorly secured load almost killed me? Nick hauled these for years.
Yeah, when
circa
what
1995
is when you had
Nick. I want to know if you were hauling these in the Okemos area in 1995, and if so, I'd like to have a word with you.
Yeah, what if he was and he came clean now? Like, yeah, dude, you know, I remember I one crazy day I dumped a few of those things.
Well, thank God that fucking guy in that little piece of shit Chevy Nova passed me right on time.
Yeah. Whipping around me out of nowhere.
Whipping around. We're like, floor it. Shaking. Please don't fall apart. Just pass.
What car were you in?
It was in a Chevy Nova, a 1987 Chevy
whose
Nova.
Whose was that?
I had it for a short time in law school.
Really?
Yeah.
God, I don't even remember
I enjoyed the gas mileage.
Yeah.
Most people think Chevy Nova like muscle car back in the day. This is when Chevy Nova went very fucking nerdy. Mm. It was basically like a little Japanese piece of shit car.
What made you go that route? Was it just cheap as balls and gas mileage?
It was some guy who worked with my dad. He was trying to off it, and I was worried. I was like, Biggie is now. He's worried about this high mileage on his thing, and I was the same. I was like, God, I got to go downtown a lot. I want something
that if stolen is not a big deal.
Yeah. So there I was in my gray 1987 Chevy Nova.
Was it really gray, or was it kind of Bondo and gray? And
no, it looked good. Yeah, it looked good from, you know, a distance.
Yeah, great distance.
Jay writing in about emailer Jay's grievance. So this is, you got to follow the Jays.
Okay.
So I'm reading this about Jay writing in, and Jay's ripping on another Jay who wrote in the other day, who grieved for a very long time about text messaging. Do you remember that?
I vaguely remember you reading another Jay having a grievance. I wish you would have put a clock on it.
Yeah, well, that's the thing, man. He says it was way longer than 30 seconds, bottom line. He's just saying.
Yeah.
It was about texting, why not pick up the phone kind of thing.
Oh, yeah.
I don't want to discourage others from airing their grievances. I think that's important. I think it's therapeutic.
Yeah.
But well, come on, Jay. Jay's right about Jay.
In fairness, I'm not saying this Jay is right about the Jay's grievance, because if I'm not mistaken, when Jay was airing that grievance, again, not this Jay, but that Jay, started airing that grievance without the clock there, I believe I was doing a lot of interjecting and interrupting. And
true,
so
but
Jay
I could,
did not.
No, it was over 30.
My Jay's read was altered in time for Jay's grievance, the other Jay's grievance, because of interruptions and discussions.
I'm going to say Jay's right.
I'm going to agree with Jay being right on this one, too.
Bagels writes in, scat lover, truffle butter, and no flutter. The evaluation in which a lined piece of paper was placed in front of Biggie's eyes was one of the funniest things I've heard in a long time, simply because of Jay's reaction. Keep up the above average work. Have a blessed day. Biggie, I'm telling you, dude, there was nary a flutter.
Okay.
All it means is you could be a world champion in pinball. That's all we know at this point. I don't know what else you use that for, but
lifeless eyes, black eyes, like a doll's eye.
Nary a flutter,
dude. Yours were like
trying to process.
It looked painful. Yours were doing so much movement; it looked painful. And then E's were just like flatlined. Bang!
Oh, you son of a bitch!
I don't like him. His giant head, or his beady little eyes.
Nate writes in, Podfather, Godfather, and Wadfather. Just wanted to let you know, you don't have to watch soccer for entertainment. E, tell me if you've heard this one before. If you want to see someone struggle to score for 90 minutes, you can take Big E to the bar. Happy Father's Day, Nate. Wow. You heard that one, E?
Oh, that's funny.
E, are you going to get back on the soccer bandwagon, though?
Yeah,
In World Cup qualifying right now.
Okay,
you should be on Team FC right now.
Oh, yeah.
That's where you should be, dude.
Yeah, when are we going to that? Are we going in a couple weeks, right?
Are we?
I think so.
I want to, yeah.
Hell yeah.
Want to. I want to check that out myself in person. I hear it's awesome.
Brad writes in concerning MyPillow.
MyPillow, yes.
Brad did us a solid. He realized that we had struck a nice little bargain with our friend Mike Lindell.
Mike Lindell,
this is Mike Lindell. Can you hear me?
Coming through loud and clear.
And Brad went ahead
to... Those are my guys.
MyPillow.com, and he used TDC code, and he had a nice little purchaser, a nice hearty order, I'd say.
Nice.
Yeah. And
did he use the code, though? That's the key.
That's the key. TDC code, baby.
Yep.
So this will occur. Mike Lindell will be sitting at his desk, and he'll yell, Don, the guys in Detroit need a pillow.
They need one bigly.
Ship it.
Send it. The guys needed another cardboard cut out of me. Send it.
You tell me what you need, and then we'll triple it, and we'll call it a day.
Mike, I'm sorry. We didn't ask for a cardboard cutout. That's our listeners. I apologize for that. That's is what it is.
My wife's really going to be upset about this.
Son of a bitch.
God, we need Megyn Kelly to survive until that interview.
I know.
Is she going to survive this weekend? Dude, I heard Alex released Jones? His own tape.
Yeah, I heard that too. I haven't
heard
the
tapes. He mic'd himself, dude. He mic'd himself during the interview.
A lot of people do that.
I knew people were going to fuck with me here, and so here it is. I thought he put it out.
He might have.
I figured he was sat there like Saturday night, listen to that.
No, I didn't. But I know he was threatening. Last I knew, he was threatening bigly to do that.
That's supposed to be on tonight. Is it happening?
I don't know. It's on upstairs like now.
Jesus, go check.
We'll talk about it tomorrow because, even Google it, dude. Just see like Sunday night, Megyn Kelly Sunday night or whatever it's called. And see if it, I don't, see last if it went. I knew it wasn't pulled.
Yeah, I didn't hear it.
I didn't
pulled,
hear so. Anything that it was pulled.
It's probably,
but
it's probably been gone over and edited again with a fine tooth comb, making sure it's non-offensive. And
well, there's something can be. There's something going on over there, man. There were stories over the weekend that someone leaked a portion of her interview with Putin.
With Putin, yeah,
like the last question she asked, and you know whatever your thoughts on Megyn Kelly or what her question was, and it was really kind of a nerf toss. She said something like, "Oh yeah, I've been talking to people all over." Outside today, and boy, they all think that everything is so much great, and they take so much pride in you.
You're the cat's meow.
You've been doing this for 17 years, running this country, and is it exhausting? And it's just this like nerf talk. Let him just fucking take a shot at it. And people are outraged that you've got this world leader where there's a lot of questions as to human rights violations. And
former KGB guy.
Yeah.
Very, very likely a murderer.
Ukraine, homosexuality. Like, there's so many things, and you've got a window of 20 minutes. You don't have time for bullshit questions like that. The other disturbing thing, though, is why would someone on the inside of NBC be leaking that to people? Like, that's just, that strikes me like, oh, she's from Fox News, now she's at NBC, and there are people that just don't fucking like... The same way they would leak the tape of Trump and now Megyn Kelly, it's like, that's a...
Yeah, she's not branded with the scarlet letter of Fox. She's really identified as that. And really, if you've watched her over the years, she's not really that right-leaning. She really is kind of a middle-of-the-road, boring kind of person.
Yeah.
She's not a rabble-rouser like a Bill O'Reilly or Sean Hannity.
Mm-hmm.
She's just vanilla.
Yeah.
And that's why ultimately she's going to fail. Because she's not interesting.
I don't know about others. This is what came out. Connecticut.
Oh, NBC Connecticut refuses to air Megyn Kelly's interview with Alex Jones.
What a fucking reach to look like a hero.
But is that just for that
local
that,
Connecticut station?
Okay, that's what I was going to say. Right, that's not. I'm not missing something. That's not a national thing.
No, it sounds like the local. That would be like NBC. Local 4 here in Detroit refuses to air that instead. You know what I mean? I just wouldn't know. I wouldn't think they would have that kind of power. I would think NBC national executives.
Oh, really? You're an affiliate of ours.
It's
the tail wagging the dog, Mike.
Yeah, not your call, sirs. But apparently, obviously they can because they apparently did. I don't know. We'll check when the show's over.
Speaking of grievances, Dennis writes in concerning Big E's grievance of last week regarding the less than full seasons of episodes on demand.
Yeah, Comcast.
Normally, I have Big E's back when he is unfairly treated, but this time I have to say his grievance is either pussy or old man. I believe I rendered it both.
I did as well.
Yeah, just wanted to cover all bases.
He's already getting pissed.
All he has to do is stop being so cheap, pitch in a couple bucks so mommy and daddy can upgrade to the X1 system. It has every episode of every season of shows, including Last Man on Earth. Jesus, are you into that?
Oh,
Last Man on Earth? I am, but we're already looking to not have cable as it is. I mean, in reality.
He's weaning.
So, I barely watch any network television shows anyway.
But your parents wouldn't, kick you out of the house if you said, you know what, I'm taking over the cable. I've got the bill.
No, they wouldn't. But I'll handle the programming.
So why don't you just do that?
Well, I'd go off the cable for me. Just go to Hulu and Netflix.
Okay.
Hey, everybody, please use our affiliate links at DetroitCast.com. You'll see links to Amazon and Groupon. Many of you shop on those sites, and we are happy to have partnered with both through their affiliate programs. You find great deals through both Amazon and Groupon, so please enter both of those sites through the links that we've provided on DetroitCast.com. Again, you can find those portals on our homepage at DetroitCast.com.
Yeah, Please use them. All right, is that it? Are we good for today?
Let's save the rest for tomorrow, Mike.
I think we are. Well, let's get out of here. Now I'm really interested to see that Megyn Kelly thing and see what the all the hubbub and is about. I'm sure people will be
Alex Jones, false flag operation.
Yeah, I'm sure people will be bent out of shape no matter what happens. So we'll have an update tomorrow for sure. Have a great rest of the day, everybody. We'll do it again tomorrow. We'll see you then.
You've been listening to the Detroit Cast with your hosts, Mike and Jay. From all of us at Radio for One Studios, thank you for listening. And as always, thank you, Detroit.